Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DesperateProds.com Marvel Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the fucked up sponsors, but today it is brought to you by Things from Another World. TFAW.com is an online retailer of nerdy shit. They got comics, they got graphic, they got trade paperbacks, they got hardcovers, they got memorabilia and collectibles from all over the nerd spectrum, and all for like 20% off what you'd expect to pay in stores. So click the link at the bottom of the page and get yourself some awesome nerdy shit. That's Things from Another World. And while we do not have awesome nerdy shit, we do have shirts that are shirts. Go to DeathStarProducts.com/store and donate and help us and buy some shirts. Get shirts, get hoodies, get sleeves for your notebooks and whatnot. And we are still looking for shirt designs, so send your designs to Bovie1 at DeathStarProducts.com or post them in the forums. Which you no longer need to be a member for to be able to post it in there. And if we like them, we'll make a shirt out of them, and we will send you a cut of the profits that we make. So that's deathstoreprods.com/store. Or if you just feel like giving us money, you can go to deathstoreprods.com/indiegogo. That is IndieGogo. And help us donate some money. We have prizes, we have little rewards and shit for people who donate money. People who give us money will use that money for equipment, like better mics, better like capture cards and shit, so we can start doing more Let's Plays and less ridicules. So yeah, deathstoreprods.com/indiegogo. Or if you just feel like, or if you don't want to give us money, then help spread the word. Like, just click any of the share links and let people know that we are here and we would like some help. And some other people would like some help. Go to deathstoreprods.com/extralife, all in word, and donate to our Extra Life page. We are currently, this is a charity where we will be playing video games for October 20th, the entire day, to help raise money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. You can come join our team, or you can just donate some money and help save some kids' lives. The people who either join the team and raise the most money, or B, donate the most money, will be able to join us for our live stream on October 20th, where we'll just be sitting down and talking about the games we're playing for the 24-hour period. Or if you don't want to come on, then you don't have to. It's entirely up to you.
Sweet.
So yeah, there's that. As always, I'm your host, The Dead Man. Jumping today, we have Shax.
Hello.
Yes, Bovie is currently on a train, and I guess he doesn't feel like recording on a train.
He should.
Yeah. Just had a nice throughout the entire thing. And occasionally, whoop whoop.
I think I can.
And anytime we hear whoop whoop, I say that's the sound of the police.
Holla.
Okay, Zier, we're talking about some comics. So, Shex, what one comic have you read this week?
I read two comic books.
Wait, what?
Week. Yeah.
Just give me a second to script my brains off the ceiling.
I know. Everyone, just calm down.
Yes, that is a 100% increase in comics read by Shax.
100%. That's crazy, man. That's a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking insane. You've doubled your output.
I know. Yeah.
Yes, this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, so I've read Zero and One of Avengers vs. X-Men.
Yeah, so AVX, it started last week.
Yeah, the whole, the Phoenix is coming.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, for some reason, maybe you can't tell from the title, this is where the Avengers face the X-Men.
Wait, are you saying they're going to fight each other?
Yes, I am.
I thought they were going to have, like, My Little Pony parties and get along and hug.
Honestly, I thought that was going to be just a D&D encounter. Where it's like the nerdier members of the Avengers and the X-Men just get in, they roll their characters, and then, like, the other more manly men show up and then learn how to play D&D.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But no, this is, so the Phoenix Force is coming for Hope Summers because, yeah, I guess it has a thing for redheads.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. And so the Avengers want to take her, but the X-Men don't want to let them.
Yeah, it seems that Cyclops, first of all, his outfit is fucking gay. He looks like an asshole.
Yeah, but he is an asshole.
But look at him. He looks like one now.
He's always looked like one.
No, he had... I mean, it, maybe it's been a while, but I liked the one he had where he had no hood or no fucking tights on his face. And it was kind of like that blue and yellow.
Recently, he's spending a lot of time walking around in pop-collar shirts.
I'd rather him in that right now than the fucking outfit that he has now. He just looks fucking like an asshole. He just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, this is Cyclops. I know it's been a while since he's written the X-Men stuff, but he is just kind of an asshole.
Yeah. I couldn't help, because, like, a lot of times when I read comic books, I kind of make up a personality for the person that I'm reading for.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when he's talking to Hope, especially in the Episode Zero one, mm-hmm. like, when she's, like, about to fly away.
Yeah. And with his jetpack, mind you.
I couldn't help but have kind of, in my head, it was kind of like a Donald Trump sounding character where he's just like, don't do it. Don't even think about it.
It's like, you're fired.
I'm like, fuck off, Cyclops. Like, you look like an asshole, and I don't like you. But
yeah, it's like, I'm not sure if this qualifies him as an asshole or just kind of evil. But like, the reason that like him and Wolverine don't have their own separate X-Men kind of things is because he wanted to form a child army.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's like the whole thing that I was gonna get to. But got derailed by him looking like a fucking idiot in his costume. like, the whole thing is he wants to use the Phoenix Force as a way to repopulate the mutant's population.
Mm-hmm.
Which this is the first time I've read anything of, really... I mean, okay. I got back into comic books when I started to do this comic book podcast,
mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to get into the comic book podcast, is so I can get back into comic books. But I was when the New 52 was just starting, and I was reading a bunch of those, and then I kind of narrowed it down to only Deathstroke, the New 52, mm-hmm. and then I just went into The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So this here is actually the first time I've read in Marvel comic books in very, very long time. I mean, so there's a lot of shit that I don't know and don't understand, and have only been able to kind of keep up with what you guys have talked about here and there.
So what in this thing has got you confused? Like, is it like when Cyclops says there's less than 200 of us left?
Yeah, that was like, wow, that's not a lot of mutants left in the population.
Okay, so about 7 years ago, Marvel released this huge crossover thing with their entire universe called the House of M. Yeah, so in that, Scarlet Witch, who is another new character, who's another character who came back into favor in Avengers vs. X-Men Zero. Well, came back at least in Avengers vs. X-Men Zero.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so she cast a spell where every major superhero's wish came true, their ideal life came true. Like, Peter Parker was married to Gwen Stacy with kids. J. Jonah Jameson worked for him. Wolverine was dating wow. Mystique and remembered everything about his life. Ms. Marvel was the world's greatest superhero. And mutants ruled the world.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sentinel robots that were designed to hunt down mutants now hunt down humans.
Wow.
Yes, and also humans get Tony Stark. He is now no longer a billionaire genius. He's just a genius who fights Sentinels in robots. It's just Thunderdome with robots. And Johnny Storm doesn't have fire powers. He is just in a flaming robot.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So all this happened. And then this one girl, Layla Miller, who went on to play a major role in the X Factor series. She has memories of the previous world. She remembers a time when humans were the dominant species on the planet, and mutants were just kind of there. And so then she starts going around and giving people their memories back. And so then, once she brings back enough people, they all realize, hey, Magneto's probably behind this, let's go kill him.
Hmm.
So then they go off, they fight Magneto, and then it is revealed that Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch's brother had convinced her to make the world run by mutants. Because at this point she was like crazy. Because of some shit that I didn't want to get into. But so yeah, they found Scarlet Witch, and then she's playing with her two fake sons, because at one point she thought she had sons, but she just made them up, it turns out. And yeah, so then she says, like, oh yeah, and so they were like, I've realized something, mutants are kind of shit, no more mutants. And then the world refers back to normal, and there were only 198 mutants left in the world. Before there were like thousands, now there's less than 200. What are you listening to?
Wow, you can hear that?
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Scarlet Witch, she said no more mutants, and then there were less than 200 mutants.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised by that, and I was thinking back, because I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Because that was like, probably the biggest, like, what the fuck? Like, because, like, there's, you know, like, what the fuck's Spider-Man doing here? I'm like, get rid of that asshole. And then there's like Captain Britain is now part of the Avengers, and it's like, so what's going on? Did Excalibur kind of get together with Avengers?
No, Captain Britain is part of the Captain Britain Corps.
But he used to be on Excalibur.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure that either dissolved or turned into the Captain Britain Corps, because Captain Britain Corps is like an extra dimensional force that is just held, that is just like inhabited by Captain Britons. There's like seven of them.
There's seven Captain Britons.
Yep. And some of them have beards.
What the fuck? Like, where do they think that's a good idea?
I don't know. Maybe it happened in the 90s?
I guess. Like,
like, and the 90s, yeah, like, the 90s was the point when Superman became two different characters.
Superman was two different characters?
Yes, a red one and a blue one. Think about it.
Why?
Cause magic.
Okay. Well, I mean, there used to be a U.S. agent, but I think he was only taken over for Captain America because at the time, Captain America was injured.
New Captain America, like U.S. agent, he kind of showed up after Captain America quit being Captain America, became Nomad, I think.
Mm.
Yeah,
I remember they fought each other in a comic book that I used to have.
Yeah. Okay, so back to AVX.
So Cyclops is planning on using the Phoenix Force to bring the mutants back around as the dominant species, apparently.
I'm not sure if he actually wants to bring them back as the dominant species. I think he just wants to, you know, have mutants again.
Okay, well, you know, yeah.
It was like when she said no more mutants, mutants stopped being born. Like, Hope was the first mutant born in, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as she was born, some mutants started popping up all over the world, and she like went and recruited them. And then everyone started calling her the Mutant Messiah. That's why she's important.
That's why she's the Mutant Messiah, because she's the first one born.
Yeah, she's the first one born since M-Day.
Okay.
Which is what they call it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because I remember, I knew there was something to that, and, like, he right away, like, is referring to her as the Messiah, and, yeah. But, anyway, so, the Phoenix is coming, it's apparently coming for her, and Cyclops is planning on using the Phoenix to, or the power of the Phoenix, to somehow bring it back around for mutants to, well, just exist. So that they're... Yeah, they exist, basically. Like, so...
And Captain America is having none of it.
Yeah. Because he's... I mean, yeah, I kind of agree with him and Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's another thing that I was kind of confused by. Which Tony Stark is this? Is this the drunken...
No, this is the sober Tony Stark.
This is the one that's tried getting Spider-Man killed.
This is the one...
And has been turned into a dick.
This is the one that started a civil war and almost destroyed the world with the Hulk.
Okay. Yeah, see, there's so much of that I don't... I feel like I should go back and read, like, the Civil War. Like, I know a little bit about it.
You should definitely read Civil War.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, so there's some things that about it that right away was kind of like, whoa, I instantly felt out of my element all over again, and it's reasonable. Like, this is why I once I got out of reading comic books, I stayed out of it, because I just, there's really no catching back up in a lot of ways. But, we've gone off track and got back on track over, like, the last 10 minutes of us discussing this, and I don't remember my main focus.
You were talking about Cyclops being an asshole?
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah, and then you went on to...
And
like,
he looks like one.
Yeah, and then we started talking about, like, Captain America and Tony Stark having none of Cyclops' plan.
Yeah.
And then you said you kind of agree with... You said you kind of agree with Cap and Tony?
Yeah, I think... Because their whole thing is it seems like they're like, but we don't know what's going to happen once the Phoenix gets here.
Yeah, like their entire thing is the Phoenix is a non-predictable, like, space entity that may destroy us all. We think it should be kept under wraps. Which is reasonable. Like,
yeah.
Like the Phoenix is a very powerful entity. They don't know if they don't know if they'll be able to control it, or if Cyclops can control it. So they figured, let's lock it away until it goes away.
Well, they're looking to lock her up, right? Protect her.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get her. I think they're trying to get her into protective custody so that the Phoenix won't be able to find her. Which is kind of stupid because Phoenix is an all-knowing, all-powerful space firebird.
Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly what they were meaning by that. Maybe I'm thinking maybe Captain America was kind of like just saying that to put it nicely that we're going to take her.
Maybe they built a magic anti-firebird cell.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
They have wizards and they have a god on their side. They'll be able to hire from a giant flaming pigeon.
Yeah. Oh, god damn. Like I don't know. Like. Being that I'm not a child anymore and I'm reading a superhero comic book that's. Like, everyone's just walking around. Like when Captain America goes to visit Wolverine, and Wolverine's just sitting there in his Wolverine outfit, I'm like, is that what these people do? Is they just sit around in their tights all day? Like, no one wears normal clothes anymore?
Oh, no, like in Wolverine and X-Men, you rarely see him wearing his Wolverine outfit. Like, I don't think you've ever... he hasn't been wearing his Wolverine outfit for, like, the past 27 issues of... Like, any kind of comic book Wolverine in it. Like, this is the first time I've seen him in that outfit in, like, weeks. Or months.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe I just came back at a bad time. I don't know.
No, like, I'm guessing that they just, like, put him in that outfit again because it's Avengers shit. And fuck, I dropped a call.
You dropped a call?
Yeah, it said, like, a big red thing said, hey, we dropped a call. Did I?
I'm still here.
Okay, then. So my Skype is just being retarded. But there might be a delay now.
What? I don't know. Say something as soon as I'm done talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, then. I guess you're just taking a bit to respond to me, then.
Yeah, I'm slow-minded, retarded, like your Skype.
Yeah. Okay, so with that Wolverine thing, I'm guessing they just kind of put it in there because, hey, he's part of the Avengers and X-Men, so you gotta show him in costume, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
I was like, everyone else is in costume, didn't want to be left out of the party.
Yeah, I know, it's like, God, everyone's just in their costumes. It's just funny to me.
Yeah, like Wolverine, he's usually just sitting around in, like, a collared shirt and sports jacket. You know, he looks like a kind of badass principal of a school.
It sounds like they're trying to make him look like the movie versions.
Not really, because he's not running around in a leather jacket and smoking a cigar.
He's always smoked cigars.
Yeah, he has always smoked cigars, but it's not like he's always smoking one. You know, like when he's sitting in his principal's office, like he just looks like a principal with mutton chops and stubble.
I feel like he should be smoking a cigar.
With just like hanging out, like kick his feet up on the desk, smoking a cigar, smoking a stogie while he's in his principal's office, like having a staff meeting.
Yep. All the time.
Yeah, this is power, smoking. Well, it was a ceiling factor. You can smoke however much you want and not get cancer.
Yeah, there you go. So, this is an alternate universe, obviously, right? Because Spider-Man's there.
And no, this Avengers vs. X-Men is happening in the main universe.
Okay.
And Spider-Man is part of the Avengers.
I don't like that. Get Spider-Man. I don't like Spider-Man anymore. And that hurts to say that, because he is by far my favorite comic book character of all times.
Well, if you get into the most recent Spider-Man stuff, he's actually pretty good. Like, he punched Al Gore in the face.
No. He's retarded.
But it turns out he was the chameleon. he's also wearing like enhanced spider armor that's made with like supervillain tech. To fight Mummy Dr. Octopus, who's trying to destroy the world with global warming.
I don't know.
I know it sounds retarded when I explain it like that, but
it's not even that, or it's not totally that. It's just the movies, you know, the new movie, and just I don't know.
Yeah, the Spider-Man, he's just kind of Spider-Man.
You got Black Spider-Man.
The Black Spider-Man is an entirely different character.
I know, but still.
Yeah, he's actually Spider-Man's bully.
And I'm not saying that because he's black. This to be like racist. Yeah, it's just I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about Ultimate Spider-Man. I thought you were talking about Venom.
No, if I was talking about Venom, I would have said Venom.
But I don't know.
Or like, black suit of Spider-Man.
Like, you're just being like, just you're just being like kind of dismissive. It's like, and Black Spider-Man. Like I thought you were saying like, oh, so you were talking about Flash Thompson. But no, I guess you're talking about Miles Morales, who is a very good Spider-Man.
And I'm not saying I haven't read those comic books at all, so I don't know if he's good or not. But
those are
just
good.
Saying,
yeah,
I just don't like.
Those are good, and those are those have a very low barrier of entry.
Right on, but it's just there's things that are going on in Spider-Man's universe, if you will, that I'm just like
in the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse, yeah. The games, like I've seen the trailer for the new Spider-Man Activision game that's coming out. There's like this gigantic robot blowing shit up in the middle of the city, and Spider-Man's swinging around it. And it's like at some point, Spider-Man's not superhuman enough to deal with this. Like it's gone. They've gone past notching up to 11. It's like at 15 now.
Well,
it's like he's just Spider-Man, not Superman.
Yeah, but like on top of him being like. Having strength and the speed and the agility and spider sense, he's also a genius. So he is probably more well equipped to handle giant robots than say Captain America. Or probably Superman.
I don't see how being smart is being more well equipped.
Because you know he'd be able to like reprogram all those robots and use them all. And,
oh
like,
come get on,
like, dude, he managed to like delete an entire universe once.
He builds his own
armor. He builds all his own tech. Like he created his web shooters when he was 15.
I don't know. I don't know.
Captain America and Superman, their like entire things is I'm gonna punch you.
Well, I'm not saying Captain. I didn't even bring up Captain America. First of all,
I did.
Captain America can like beat the shit out of gigantic, world-destroying robots either.
Yeah, no, but like
Superman would just come along, pick the thing up, and throw it into the fucking water, and it short circuits and done deal.
Yeah, and then it explodes and kills everyone in the town.
Well, he didn't know it was going to explode when it short circuited.
Exactly, that's because he's an idiot.
Well, because Spider-Man's not there to say, don't throw it in the water.
Yeah, but Batman is.
Spider-Man is just, he's a superhuman to a certain point where it gets to a point where other things that are just gigantically big and bad is too much for him. And seeing a video game made where he's fighting this stuff is like, dude, you're trying to modern warfare Spider-Man in terms of big bad shit, and it's ridiculous.
Could you imagine a game where you like sling around the world as Spider-Man in first person?
That's fucking retarded.
Hey, they tried to do something like that with Mirror's Edge.
You know, they had that with I can't think of the last Spider-Man game.
Edge of Time.
Let me think. possibly it's the one where there is fuck. Yeah, I don't know if it was Shattered Dimensions or the one after that.
Shattered Dimensions it was. That wasn't like first person swinging around the city. That was first person punching dudes.
Yeah, but still, that happened with
a couple boss fights.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like you're swinging around New York City in first person.
It would be so retarded to do that with Spider-Man. I mean, Mirror's Edge was fucking broken, I thought, because of it. But this isn't the video games podcast.
Yes. Back to comics.
Yeah, my little rant on fucking Cyclops and Spider-Man has dragged down, but
less
or about these two comics.
Yeah. Scarlet Witch's involvement in all of it.
So what's the deal with... Okay, so...
Just a sec, dude.
Miss, what's that? Did she just walk away? This cocksucker just walked away!
I need a fucking sign to hang on my door.
Just do not disturb.
Yeah, he just like a little blinking light. It's like, when light is on, recording, fuck off.
I can give you, I got like a little door handle one that says gaming, do not disturb.
Yeah, but then she disturbed me still. Oh well. I got a Rice Krispie Square now.
Hey, that plays awesome on the audio.
What? I mean, you heard that.
Yeah.
I have a Rice Krispie Square. And I'm gonna eat it. Yeah, so...
That's right.
What you're saying?
You said something about Scarlet Witch, and I thought that was kind of shitty of Vision to be like... Because Miss Marvel is like, come on! Come see your friends!
Miss Marvel and Spider-Woman were like, hey, come on, we'll be fine. But then the Void, who was her husband, who was like... Yeah, because she made herself some children, like, magically, and then convinced everyone in the world that they were real. And then she... And then she forgets all about it, and all the Avengers are just, like, pretending she doesn't exist, and she, like, kills half of them.
Wow, what a bitch.
And then she goes crazy and wipes out most of the mutants in the world, so it's understandable that some would be like, fuck.
Right. Well, okay, and here's another thing with Vision, like, what's his deal? Like, I knew he's kind of like some kind of alien.
He's the android.
Is he an android? Okay, because, like, I knew... I thought he made an android of himself.
No, Ultron made him.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he and the Scarlet Witch were married for a while.
See, that's just stupid. Like, if he's an android, they shouldn't be married. He shouldn't have no sexual anything.
He doesn't. But he still has
emotions. So what the fuck are they married?
Because he has emotions and shit, and they fell in love.
No, that is like when they gave the emotion chip to Data in Star Trek.
But he always had
a bad idea.
But he always had emotions. He was.
I don't care.
He was a robot made with emotions.
That's stupid. That's just stupid. That's never a good thing. It's just it contradicts itself. It's stupid.
How?
It shouldn't happen. Because I'm fine with the idea of like Geth. You know, kind of like evolving into free-thinking machines. That's fine with me, but having emotions or anything like that is just... It goes against anything that machines are made for, and I just don't like it.
Yeah, but he was made as the first, like... He was made as the first machine with emotions.
I don't like it. And I want his white outfit back.
He never had a white outfit.
Yeah, he used to have a white outfit.
He's always been red, green, and yellow to me.
No, there's, I think the way he did it is he just changed his outfit, but I'm not exactly sure. I believe he, like, just put it in his hand, kind of like, you know, like, grabbed towards the top of it, and then, like, grabbed, his, like, at the top of the fist, grabbed the outfit and just, like, dragged it through his hand and turned to white. I believe that's how he did it. I don't remember. But yeah, it used to be just all white. It had the same design to it and everything, just he was all white.
Hmm. Yeah. Weird.
That came, I mean, he originally was what he is now, like in this comic book with the green and yellow, but at one point, yeah.
Hmm. Oh well. So yeah, this is Avengers X-Men issue 1 and issue 0 and 1. That's what happened in those. I guess.
But wait. Unless you had some more that you wanted to talk about. I feel like I kind of dominated that.
Well, yeah, it was your only two comics. But yeah, it was just kind of like, I thought Captain America could handle that situation better. You know, he just kind of showed up in a ship and said, "We're taking Hope."
Yeah, he was very cool. Just kind of like, I'm trying to be respectful, you know, and he even says that, and Cyclops fucking shoots him.
Yeah, Cyclops is like, fuck you, dude, eye lasers.
It's like the first time I've ever seen Cyclops actually hit something with his eye lasers, because of building.
Nah, he's been pretty good with them, because, I mean, he just has it. Because, I mean, he just has to look at someone.
Well, that's the thing, that's probably what it is like, I'm sure, you know, I've heard people say, you know, like, how does he always miss? He's shooting out of his eyeballs. All he has to do is look at it. And I feel like that's something that we never thought about. You know, same thing with movies and games and so on and so forth, is people think about stuff too much. Stuff like this come around and everyone's like, hey, yeah, why does he miss all the time?
Well, you know, he does have that visor, so maybe he has to have, like, his head positioned to it. Because, you know, he takes off the glasses, just kind of a wide berth, but this way it's like focused, so, you know, he could just like have to be looking, like having his head directly pointed at whatever he wants to shoot at.
Right.
Well, but yeah, so it's gonna be a big old fashioned throwdown with everyone. And it's the weirdest thing, like when Captain America first showed up, and then Cyclops is like psychically yelling at Emma to say get Hope the hell out of here, and Hope, and like Emma's always saying like it's Hope's choice, like she can decide whether she wants to go or not, and Cyclops is like not anymore. That was the really weird scene to me, because for the longest time, Emma Frost has hated Hope with a fiery passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, she even conspired with a guy to try to kill her.
So what's the deal? Like, is there's something that was said in a conversation that led me to believe that now Cyclops is fucking the White Queen?
He's been fucking her for years.
Okay.
Yeah, like when he was still with Jean Grey, like Emma moved into the mansion, and then he started having a psychic affair with her, which is the stupidest fucking thing ever, because, you know, he was currently married to the world's most powerful psychic. So he figures, right, hey, I'll have a psychic relationship with someone who is considerably less powerful than her. But way more slutty, I guess.
And not to mention that she's a fucking psychic.
Yeah.
You can't really come home and wipe the lipstick off and dust the glitter off and get away with it. She's just going to be like, I read your mind that you were just fucking someone else.
Yeah, it's like she's sitting there, I was like, you bastard!
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, he was like having a psychic affair with her, then Jean found out, then she died, then her like ghost from the future sent like psychic signals back to for those two to hook up on top of her grave.
Okay.
And then they just kind of made a go of it. And they've been together ever since, that really creepy part where the ghost, or the future ghost of Jean Grey, gets her husband to make out with his mistress on top of her dead body.
Oh man,
it's really fucking creepy.
Yeah,
so they've been together for a while, and yeah, but still, it was really weird to me, because for the longest time, Emma's been like, "Get the fuck out of here! I fucking hate you! Just fucking die!" She like joined forces with a guy who stuck a needle into the back of her skull and tried to, like, crucify her in front of 1,000 other mutants.
Wow.
But, well, not 1,000, I mean, a couple dozen. There's not 1,000 left.
Right.
But yeah, so just, like, he was gonna fucking murder her something relentless, and it's just, and it's just like, now, like, yeah, so we're gonna like give her free will and shit. I don't care if you go or not. It was, it made, like, maybe she had, like, at the end of that thing, it was all like everyone had some piece of that guy inside their heads that was clouding their thoughts and shit. But maybe, like, it isn't really explained when Emma Frost got hers put in, so for all I know, she could have had hers in, like, from the very beginning.
Right.
But I kind of doubt it. So, yeah, she just kind of makes a bizarre turn right there in her, like, decision about what she wants Hope to do. What she wants to, like, fuck off, stay here, or do whatever she wants. Kind of weird.
Hmm.
Oh well. So there's that. And I can hear myself really loudly.
Don't know what you're talking about, man.
Oh well. Okay, so I guess that moves on to me then. If you have anything else you want to say?
I don't think so. Oh, I do want to mention that. I do like, I think it's cool how they do the word bubbles. I don't remember this ever really been done in comic books before. At least not when I used to read them. Maybe they were and I just never noticed them because, like I said before, for the longest time, I only looked at the pictures.
Yeah, so how do you mean?
Well, you know, like, for instance, like when White Queen was psychically talking to Cyclops, it would kind of have like this poofiness kind of shape to the word bubble with like a little diagonal line, or not diagonal, but a little thunderbolt kind of line to it.
Yeah, they've been doing that for as long as I've been reading comics.
Yeah, so I could be just never paid attention to it before. Yeah. But like, there's that, and then there's like the when Iron Man talks and he has his mask down, it's kind of like in red lettering and kind of blocky a little bit and stuff. And then,
and again, for as long as I've been reading it.
And then you got Vision, who, when he talks, it's in like a yellow, weird-looking kind of word bubble. And what about that?
Robot.
What do you got? Yep. They've been doing that since you've been reading?
Well, I haven't been reading anything with Vision in it.
Ah! So go fuck off. yeah, it's just, or Thor, when he talks, they have like a weird looking font to his.
Every voice. Asgardian god has that. Every
word that I've been reading. I don't know, I think it's cool. It's like, yeah, you know, it helps break up who's talking about what, who's saying what.
Yeah, I guess, like, since I've been reading these comics for a lot longer. Well, like, at least in more volume, that I'm kind of used to that kind of stuff, but for you, this is kind of your first introduction, like, since your first exposure to something outside of Deathstroke and Walking Dead.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I guess I've just gotten used to it.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so, we done with AVX then?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, on to me. So, since Shaq's the only one here, he has picked four of what I've read over the past 2 weeks for me to talk about. So, what do you want me to start with?
I guess just start at the top. What is it? Wolverine and the X-Men.
Alright, so Wolverine and the X-Men, issue 8. So, in the last issue, Wolverine's legs were broken. And I mean, like, broken okay. I mean, like, broken to fuck. Like, they were, like, mangled all to hell. Like, I'm pretty sure one of his feet was, like, at level with his ass.
What?
And the other one was, like, perpendicular to his leg. Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's really weird. So he was at some alien casino trying to...
Hold on.
Yeah.
Does he not have adamantium skeleton anymore?
No, he still does have it, but they used an alien ray on him that dissolved the adamantium and then reconstituted it so that his bones like drew back, like his bones regenerated into that shape.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was at an alien casino trying to steal money to help fund his school, and then as he was running away, he was hit in the legs by an alien ray thing. And like I said, it messed up. It messed with his adamantium and broke his legs all to hell. And then his adamantium grew back. His adamantium like reconstituted itself as that shape of his broken legs. So his legs did heal. It's just they are healed into that shape. Yep. So in this issue, Beast is trying to figure out how to fix his legs. And so what he does is he goes up into space to talk to his girlfriend, who is the head of S.W.O.R.D., which is an alien cop thing that happens in the space, to see if they have the parts that he needs to build the machine to fix his legs. And then a bunch of the kids, including Genesis, who is a child clone of Apocalypse, Angel, who at this point thinks he's an actual angel, Brew...
Is Angel gone crazy?
Yes, he did. He kind of died... But like only for 10 seconds.
And he's just been nuts ever since.
Yes. Yeah, like
Flying around naked.
Yep. Yeah, like Psylocke stabbed him in the stomach with some life seed thing while he was becoming Apocalypse, and then that kind of removed the Apocalypse thing, and then he just kind of woke. He just kind of came to without any memory of who he is, and he thinks he's an actual angel. Like there's one bit in this comic where he picks up Wolverine, flies him out of his wheelchair, and then just drops him into the bushes somewhere, saying, let your faith heal your legs, and then just drops him. It's like, but I thought you were expecting a miracle. And he's just like, fuck off, dude, you're not an angel. And then Angel's just like, but I don't want to say what happened. I was only trying to help. And yeah, so then a bunch of the kids, including those two, go off into space to get the machine back. And while this is happening, Wolverine is trying to teach his class that isn't there. Like, he goes into class like, alright, class, over your textbooks to page. Fuck. Because he realizes the classroom is empty. Yeah, so when some beast goes up into space, Sabretooth is there, and he's hunting his girlfriend down. He's hunting Beast's girlfriend down. And then Beast shows how badass he is by literally, like, he jumps into space without any kind of atmospheric thing on. He grabs Sabretooth, throws him back inside. He uses a laser to shoot himself back into. He jumps out into space. Uses a laser to shoot Sabretooth into Earth atmosphere where he burns up, and then he uses the propulsion for that laser to shoot himself back into the spaceship before he explodes in space.
Nice.
And he also he fucks up Sabretooth something fierce. It is really cool, and I like Beast.
I like Sabretooth.
Yeah, Sabretooth at the beginning of this thing, he was also training the leader of the the younger Hellfire Club how to kill people.
Okay.
Yeah, he was he just kind of gave the kid a knife. He's like, "All right, come on, try to kill me." And then he just starts critiquing his form. It's like, nope, you're dead. Nope, you're dead. Nope, you're dead. And he stabs him in the heart. He's like, the heart, very good. And he just pulls the knife out of his own heart. Yeah, so it's been cool. I'll be glad when Wolverine fixes his leg so he can stop dealing with that stupid plotline.
Yeah, that sounds ridiculous to me.
Yeah, but it'll be cool seeing if Beast actually just starts unleashing a bit more, because Sabretooth had been talking to Sabretooth was talking some smack to him, saying it's because you're so smart that you're such a pussy. He was saying, it, because you're so smart, the Beast part of you is being suppressed, and you just kind of turn into a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Beast might be unleashing some more soon, and Angel and Genesis, they seem to have formed this really weird bond going on, because, everyone's telling Angel that he's not actually an angel, and everyone's telling Genesis that he's going to be the next Apocalypse. So then those two form a friendship based on stop telling us what we're going to be, or what we are.
Yeah,
so that could be cool. But, yeah, so Wolverine's legs are going to be fixed by next issue, hopefully. Beast will be healing in space and maybe having some sex.
Yeah, some...
With a green-haired chick.
Beastly sex.
Yeah, a giant furry blue cat is fucking a green-haired space woman. Only in comics.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so that does it for Wolverine X-Men issue 8. It's pretty good. Moving on.
Fanboys versus Zombies.
Okay, so we made a joke at some point.
What's up,
that,
bro?
Yeah, we made a joke this was a very bro series, and I think this is where Brophy spawned from.
It could possibly... I want to say you accidentally called him Brophy once, and then it spawned from there, but I'm not sure.
Well, okay, so this is Brophy's most anticipated series.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see why. It's kind of a bro series.
Yeah?
Yeah, like when the character is initially introduced, like a big, like their whole big thing is, I want to sleep with this chick. Yeah, like the thing was like, oh, you stole her from me. It's like, oh, you just did this. And then, like, when the zombies break out, one of the people is like, yeah, zombie breakout, bitches! Like, the actual zombie breakout thing is the stupidest fucking thing ever. It's like, alright, so they have a convention, so they have a Comic-Con hot dog, takes a bite of it, then leaves it somewhere. Then they go off to do their thing, and then someone shoots a spider web at it. It's like, oh no, we got a web on it. Then someone spills, like, their energy drink on it. Then someone, like, drops some paint on it or something. Then some guy goes along, takes a bite out of it, and becomes the first zombie. Because, you know, a hot dog covered in webbing, energy drink, and paint obviously looks very appetizing.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, but this series, this comic is fucking... I do not like it. Like, I can understand the appeal of, like, hey, we're nerds, there's a zombie outbreak, let's do stuff, and, like, at one point they break into, like, a... Like, there's one guy who's, like, held up somewhere, he's, like they break into a safe house, part saying, like, hey, I'm here for an interview, I'm a famous comic book creator whose name is Casey. He's like, hello? And they just kick the door down on it, and just run inside. But it just felt like a bro series to me. Like, oh, another reason it felt like a bro series. At the very, like, the first couple of panels, they say, like, hey, let's all meet up at Comic-Con every year at this place. Like, Wrecking Crew for life. And it's spelled, like, Wrecking Crew, and then the number four, and then life is spelled with a Y.
Oh.
As soon as I said that, I was just like, sup, bro? And it is not great. I will not enjoy reading it. And I can hear myself almost as loud as I can hear myself. I can hear myself from your mic almost as loud as I can hear myself in my headphones. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Does it keep happening, or is it just on and off?
Well, now it's quieter. But I can still hear myself for, like, the entire thing, but it just keeps, like, going up and down in volume. I'm going to leave it all the same because I don't really like editing all this shit because I don't like hearing myself talk. But, so for all you listeners out there, if you can't hear any of this, I am sorry. Well, yeah, so Fanboys vs. Zombies, I cannot not recommend it. I cannot recommend it.
All right, yeah. I had to think about that too.
Yeah, so I cannot recommend it. Unless you're a bro. In which case, you're probably not reading comics. You're probably playing Call of Duty or having sex or something.
Or having sex or something. Yeah, fuckers and their sex. When did fanboys turn into being the dude bros? Like, fanboys are always the extra nerd. Mm-hmm. They go that extra distance to be nerdy.
Yes.
Yes.
They're the ones that started to retake Mass Effect.
Yeah, but, like, all of a sudden they turn into, like, now the dude bros are fanboys, I guess?
No, like, that wasn't even the thing, like, none of them were actually bros. Like, none of them were like, oh, sup, bro? Except for one guy who was, like, new. Who was the guy eating the hot dog. But it was just, like, none of them were bros, it just felt like a bro comic. It just felt like... When I was reading it, I could just, like, feel the disembodied spirit of Brophy hanging over me saying, oh, bro, that's so awesome. You know, it felt... Like, it was the subtext, not the text of it all. Yeah, that's the best way I can explain it is, none of it is actually bro-y, but it just feels bro-y. So, yeah.
Okay.
Probably confused a lot of you out there. but that's what I think it is. It just, it is never explicitly bro. No one is that exactly like expressing their brohood aside from, I think one guy at one point does say, "Hey, bro." So, yeah. Yeah, so for all I know, I could just be talking out of my ass and be completely wrong about this. But for me, this series felt like a bro series, and I will not be coming back to it at all.
Right on, yeah. It doesn't sound that interesting to me.
Yeah. So, moving on. Next thing?
Hell Yeah 2.
Yeah, so, Hell Yeah, this is a new series. It's 2 issues in, obviously. And so what the series is a universe where so main character, I forget his name, but his dad is the first person to ever have contact with superheroes. Like he was just an army guy. He was like fighting, he's like running around fighting all the guys, and he's like, "I'm trapped. This is urgent camp. We got everyone down." But then, and then before he can be executed, superheroes show up.
Wait a minute. So this isn't. This isn't the comic book that the superhero killed himself?
No, that is something else that I can't remember the name of.
Son of a bitch. You fooled me. You got me. April Fool's on me. April 10th.
It's the April 10th, the new April Fool's Day.
Or wait, when people listen to this, April 11th.
Yeah, April 11th, the new April Fool's Day. It happens every 10 days in April. Well, yeah, so yeah, his dad's the first one in contact with superheroes, and then everyone expects Leon to live up to the expertise, even though he's just kind of an asshole. You know, like, at one point he gets into, like, a bar fight. What's the point? He gets into, like, a bar fight, and then he's called to the dean's office the next day at his university, saying, "We don't really expect you to..." It's like, do you remember who your dad is? Do you remember what he did? But the thing is, like, everyone's always saying... Like, that's one thing with this. Like, everyone's always saying, "Oh, your dad's amazing, your dad's so awesome." Like, his dad met superheroes first. It's not like he was one of them. It's just, "Hey guys, guess what I did? It's like, "Hey guys, look who I met overseas." And it's like, "Oh shit, superheroes." Yeah, so at the end of the first issue, there's an explosion at a school, and it turns out that a bunch of women, jumped into this universe because someone was going around and killing every single one of those, every single version of him in all the different universes. So this kid, I think his name's Billy or something. Fuck, I'm just gonna call him Billy. I don't care if that's the wrong name.
Yeah, fuck it, he's Billy now.
Yeah. So Billy, so someone was going around to all the different universes out there, because apparently there's like thousands of different universes, and killing that universe's version of Billy. And so this guy is kind of, I think, the only one left, or like one of the last few. So a bunch of super bitches come over to this universe. One of them, who happened to date this guy, her own universe's version of Billy, she followed the killer into this universe, and now she is trying to figure out who it is. And it is revealed who it is at the end of this issue, but I will not spoil it. Needless to say, you will not see this coming. Yeah, it's an alright series. Like, it's kind of, like, since it just kind of started, it's still, like, figuring out, like, its footing and everything. Like, it's trying to figure out what it really is, but it's interesting enough, and I'll keep reading it.
Right,
so,
huh?
Yeah, so yeah, there's that. So, moving on. I guess. So...
What did we talk about? Okay, I think this is Mask.
Yeah, so I read The Mask. As in all of it. Except for The Mask Southern Discomfort.
So this is a comic book series that is based on the old 80s cartoon, Mask.
No, this is the comic book series that was the basis for the movie.
Wait, what movie?
The Mask, the movie.
Oh, you're talking about The Mask?
Yeah. I just wrote down Mask. I'm going to talk about The Mask.
You fooled me again. That's twice now. Twice. April 11th, everyone.
Yeah, so I read The Mask, which is the basis for the Jim Carrey movie. And you just say, the comic is a lot darker than the movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so for those of you who don't know, for some reason, The Mask centers around a mask. It is a fictional, it is like a mythical mask made by Loki, the god of mischief, I guess. Well, that may have just been a thing for the movie. It never really explained the origin of the mask, aside from it was being used by tribal peoples. Like, Native American tribes would, like, put on the mask and dance around, like, chop off their own heads, put their heads back on, then take the mask off and set it somewhere to worship it.
Wow.
But then Whitey sold the mask, and it's been circulating around ever since. So yeah, so in the first, like the original miniseries for the mask, it starts with issue zero, which is the whole Stanley Ipkiss thing. But I could not find that, so I just started with issue one, understandably enough. Yeah, so issue one, this girl, she goes into the police station and hands the mask off to Lieutenant Kellaway, who, for some of you may know, was the bumbling cop, was the, like, more competent of the two bumbling cops from the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this, he's the main character. Like, anytime...
That's interesting.
Like, anywhere the mask is involved, he is there.
Okay, that was kind of how it worked in the movie, too. But yeah. It was more following Stanley Ipkiss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this one, Stanley Ipkiss is dead after the issue zero. Like Stanley is running around wearing the mask. His girlfriend finds out about it, gets him to take off the mask, then it kills him.
Oof.
Then takes the mask.
The fuck?
Yeah, because the mask in this thing is addictive. It's not like, hey, I put on the mask. It's like, I put on the mask, and then, hey, I'm all blah, 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 like acting out this shit. It's like, the mask, you put on the mask, and then it takes over you. Like, there have been multiple points where people have been, oh god, what am I doing? And the mask is like, you're doing what's meant to be done! Like, where they actually start having, like a conflict inside themselves, like, yelling at the mask while the mask is trying to make them do something they don't want to do. Yeah, so he hands the mask off to Lieutenant Kellaway, who then puts on the mask and becomes a vigilante. And so in this universe, at this point in the universe, the mask has, like, the guy who, Stanley Ipkiss has become known as Big Head. Like, they don't actually refer to the killer as the mask killer. They call him the big head killer. Because when you put on the mask, you do kind of get a big head.
Okay.
Yeah, so then the next few issues is just kind of Lieutenant Kellaway running around with the mask on. And then he eventually realizes that, oh wait, this mask is evil. And then takes it off. And while all this shit is happening, there's a guy called Walter, who is a gangster, like, enforcer, who is the only guy who can, like, hurt someone while they're wearing the mask.
Hmm.
He's like 8 feet tall, like 600 pounds, but it's all muscle. He doesn't talk, and he just beats the living fuck out of anyone wearing the mask. Because he wants to wear it. And at one point, I think in The Mask Returns, he does actually wear it. He does actually try to put it on, but it won't work. Like, with anyone else, as soon as the regular mask just kind of looks like a turtle shell kind of thing with eyes and a nose on it. They put it on, they get, like, the standard Stanley Ipkiss looking green head thing. But he tried to put it on, it just stayed as that mask. It didn't do anything to him.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool. But yeah, so then, the next bit that was happening, a gangster got his hands on it and became, like, the head of the mafia.
Okay.
And then Stanley Ipkiss' girlfriend gets his hands back on it and kills him and then just, like, destroys the mafia. And then after that, four nerds get their hands, where four, like, kids that hang out all the time get their hands on it, like, one of them puts it on and becomes, like, some, like, a huge, like, anti-revolution, like, a revolutionist, like, we're gonna use this mask to fight the man. Only wearing a leather jacket. So one guy puts on, the other guy puts on the mask, he just has become a rock star, but then when he gets up on stage, he starts singing Frank Sinatra. Then he takes off the mask, another guy puts it on, and he just uses the mask to get high.
Nice.
Yeah. Then he hands it off to the last guy, who uses the mask to become a superhero. Only gets the fuck beaten out of him by Walter. And Lieutenant Kellaway.
God damn it, this is...
Yeah.
Crazy.
Then the mask goes down to Sky City, which is where the horrible Son of the Mask movie takes place.
Wait, I thought it was Australia.
Nope. Oh. What made you think it was Australia?
I thought I remember Jamie Kennedy having an Australian accent in the movie.
Nope.
You sure?
Yep. Yeah, so the mask goes down there, but instead of getting into the hands of Jamie Kennedy, it gets into the hands of a guy whose hands, who's like a former artist, whose hands were crushed in a Ferris wheel when his wife was murdered, and now he can't draw anymore. He can barely even hold a pencil. So he gets his hands of the mask and decides to wipe out crime in the city, starting with, eventually culminating with him killing the guy who killed his wife, but then got off on the charges.
Right then.
Yeah, so then he does all that, but then his daughter gets his hands on the mask, and at this point, like the big head killer, he destroyed the local stock market. He was like taking out the gangs, and then everyone was like, "Oh god, big head is such a huge evil asshole." But then his daughter goes to Halloween with her face all painted green with huge big fake clown teeth in her mouth, pretending to be going as big head, and everyone's like, "Oh, fuck, dude, really?" He's like, "Oh, you're in love with Big Head, you silly fucking loser." Her teacher yells at her and gets her to leave unless she changes her costume. So she puts on the mask and becomes Big Head and torches the gymnasium. Yeah, so while all this is happening, a bunch of German guys and some Yakuza guys are both hunting down the mask using what is essentially the German Terminator and samurais and ninjas.
What the fuck?
Yeah, everyone wants to get their hands on the mask. The German guys want to get their hands on the mask to make an Aryan race world, which is kind of weird because one of the ladies is redhead, and she wouldn't fit in the Aryan world because the Aryans are blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and all that jazz. You know, which is if you're looking for what Aryan is, just look at Captain America because he's essentially Aryan.
Right on.
Yeah, so all this is happening, and then they eventually lose the mask. It gets put in a little box thing, safety deposit box, where no one will be able to get their hands on it. But then someone breaks in and puts on the mask, and then uses it to take a trip through different universes that were in Dark Horse Comics at that time. Which I do not know any of the characters there. I don't fucking know.
Oh,
a single person.
It's Dark Horse Comics. Okay.
Yeah. And then Southern Discomfort, the mask goes to the south, and I haven't read that yet. But I'm guessing Lieutenant Calloway will be there.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the thing with the big factor that was taken out for the movie is that the mask in this universe... Well, so the mask in the movie, anytime he did the cartoon physics thing of doing something zany with I take a hammer, hit in the head... But, in the movie, while that person would, start, shaking back and forth, little birds going around their head, in this one, they just get crushed to a fucking pancake. In that scene where he, makes the balloon animal into a Tommy gun, and it starts shooting into the air, and that one, he just shoots the fucking guys that are in front of him.
Huh.
Yeah, so the mask in this one, he is just, uncontrollable id, but it's not, in the movie, he is actually fairly controlled. And this one, they just fuck it, I'm gonna take out everything, just burn down everything, kill whoever I see, kill anyone who looks at me funny.
Huh.
Yeah, and that's why I like the comic better.
I do see where they had a vision for the movie to make it a more kid-friendly, mm-hmm. comical, kind of wacky... slapstick kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, and it's
obviously it worked for him.
I'm not denying that that's not a good idea. Having a mask that essentially turns you into a living cartoon character, that is a good idea. That's a good idea for a kid's movie. And I love that movie.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, between the two, I do like the comic better.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's entire... Right on. Yeah, so... If you look, I highly recommend these comics. If you can find them, I'm pretty sure they have trade paperbacks somewhere, hardcovers collecting an omnibus of everything. But if you can get your hands on them, they're worth a read. They are really well, they're really good. They got some pretty interesting art, and it's actually just kind of funny seeing these insane comic book style cartoon characters just running around doing insane shit while everyone's drawn normally, normally for this universe, normally for this kind of comic book, and everyone's just flipping the fuck out.
Right.
Like, there's a couple bits where, like, their eyes, like, you know, like, their eyes bulge out of their head, and, like, they have, like, huge teeth, and then, like, their hair flies out. And everyone's like, what the fuck is happening? There have been a few times where, like, just start, like, they, like, unload, they, like, dump every single round they have into this guy, and he's just, like, standing there, like, is that it? And I was like, what the fuck, is he human? What's happening? I'm scared. So, yeah, it's like, imagine the Mask movie with more violence.
Right, yeah. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. And so, yeah, that does it for what we've read. So, on to news. He-Man is coming to DC Comics in July.
Really?
Yep, a 6-issue miniseries about the Masters of the Universe is being produced by DC, written by a guy named James Robinson with art by Philip Tan. Gonna be coming in July.
I will definitely want to check that out.
Yep. So, according to DC, in the new series, Robinson reintroduces the Masters of the Universe comic readers with Skeletor having won a major victory and rewriting the world of Eternia, where he now rules from Castle Grayskull, and the Masters have no memory of their former glory. Adam is a simple woodsman haunted by dreams of a heroic warrior wielding a powerful sword in battle. He is found by a mysterious sorcerer who tells him his dreams are the way the world of the way the world should be. That he is Eternia's champion, He-Man. Adam sets off on a quest to regain his power and reawaken the Masters of the Universe.
Hmm.
So there's that.
I'm definitely interested in it. Yeah, I like me some He-Man.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever been like I can't say I've ever actually seen anything with He-Man. Like, it's kind of that was kind of before my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on. So DC is going to relaunch National Comics this July.
What is that?
So National Comics, it is So let me just read this thing. National Comics were first published in 1940 by Quality Comics. Quality sold many of its properties to DC, which were later published many of these properties, some of which, i.e., Blackhawks, which is currently part of the New 52, survived the relaunch of the DC Universe in December. So the relaunch of National Comics is going to focus on four characters. It's going to include Eternity, Madam X, Rosenthorn, and the Looker. I know one of those characters.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. So Eternity is this guy who has this ability. Anytime he says like someone's name and Eternity, he brings that person back from the dead.
Okay.
Yeah, he was kind of a thing in I think Blackest Night. And he was kind of cool. Like I would have liked to see more of that character. And it kind of sucked that he didn't come back. But now he is. So Eternity is a police coroner named Christopher Raymond who dies prematurely, comes back, and is given the power to bring people back from the dead. Yeah. So I guess they have. So DC has released a couple things saying what happened with what's up with the next few things. So I guess I'll read those too. So Madam X, written by Rob Williams with art by Trevor Hairsine or whatever, starts off with a clear vision of who did it. But the real challenge is trying to prove it. An upstart law firm's psychic consultant, Madam X, uses tarot cards to divine the truth behind cases, helping skeptical lawyers gather evidence that will hold up in court. So it's kind of like if Sean Spencer was a lady and was actually psychic.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Like, it just... Like, that's the best thing I can get to, like, get it to you. It's just, hey, there's a psychic who's working with a law firm to prove cases.
Right on.
Yeah, it's like, they took a case. It's like, there's a case happening. He's like, should we take it? It's like, the guy did it. It's like, all right, we'll prosecute. Now give us evidence. I don't have any. Well, fuck. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, moving on to Rosenthorn. Written by Tom Taylor with art by Neil Gouge. Rosenthorn is a Jekyll and Mr. Hyde story about Rose Canton, a good girl with a very bad side, throwing her ass-kicking femme fatale out for revenge. So yeah, there's that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Only as ladies.
Ugh. Can we stop trying to evolve Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Can we just leave it as it is?
I don't think this is actually an evolution of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I think this is just like, alright, so there's this chick and she has this bad side. It's kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Well, every woman has that. She's always nice, and then there's that one week every month where she's a total bitch.
Okay. The thoughts and ideas expressed by Shax are not necessarily those of the site.
But they are.
So, moving on to The Looker. Okay, so, written by Ian Eddington with art by Mike S. Miller, Looker tells the story of Emily Briggs, a model who loved to look at herself in the mirror, until the day she couldn't. Turned into a vampire, Looker prowls the dark underbelly of New York City's elite modeling world, hunting all predators, including the creature that spawned her. Yeah, so...
That's so stupid.
So out of all those, Eternity is the only one that actually sounds kind of interesting to me. Like, I'll probably look into them all, because, yeah.
Because you read comics?
Yeah, because it's kind of what I do. But yeah, at present, like, the only one that really has me like, all right, it's coming back, is Eternity. Because, like I said, I really like that character. Even though I only saw him for, like, 2 issues. Okay, moving on. So, Gambit is getting his own series this August.
Sweet, another one.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, he had, like, a 4-issue arc back when I used to read comics. I think I still have them.
Well, so this is going to be... So, it is... No news on whether it is a full series or a miniseries. All Marvel said was, find out more Sunday, April 15th, at the next Big Thing panel, 11 a.m. Central, during C2E2 2012. So C2E2 is a big convention shit, so Marvel's going to be announcing some shit there. Hopefully, we will hear about it, because none of us will be going to C2E2. Because we can't.
Because, yeah, we don't get paid for this.
Yeah. So, the New 52 news. Scott Lobdell, who is the writer of Superboy and the Teen Titans, is planning a crossover between Superboy and Legion Lost this May. So it is called The Culling, and the series will deal with Superboy and Kid Flash, and it will also reveal the origin of Kid Flash, because at this point, he's just kind of there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a 92-page crossover event, and Lobdell said this about it. So, Kid Flash will be learning the first hints of his origin by talking to Superboy, a 16-year-old, without any past at all. Then Timberwolf will confront Kid Flash for an explanation as to why Bart Allen is in the here and now instead of his place of origin in the 31st century. And you wonder why at least one of the Legion Losters seems to be covering for Kid Flash. So yeah, in like the standard Marvel timeline, the Kid Flash is the Flash's grandson from the 31st century. And yeah, here he's just kind of been, hey, I was at nowhere. Which is the place that they used, yeah, which is a place they used to hunt, like, they used to trap mutants, means metahumans as they called them. Teen metahumans, at least.
Right. Yeah,
so there's that. And final piece of news. So, Dynamite and Top Cow have announced Witchblade Demon Reborn, which is a sequel series to the mini thing they did in 2003 called Witchblade Demon. Yeah, so, in Witchblade Demon, Sarah Pacini, the New York City detective with the evil glove on her hand, that is evil weapon thing that sends people to hell, sent a serial killer to hell who thought he was a demon.
Wait a minute, is that the one that, like, it was a wrist thing turned into a sword?
No, like, it was actually, like, a glove. Like, it would only, like, accept the chosen one. Like, anyone who tried to put their hand in, they get the hand bit off. But then Sarah, like, put her hand in the glove, and then it just turned into a huge fucking claw thing that, like, gave her, like, some weird bone bikini thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember there was, like, a TV show many years ago that Toybox used to watch that. He was telling me about it. When he used to watch it. I thought maybe this was it. I'm not sure, though.
I think they once did it. I think they once tried to do, like, a show about this.
Yeah, it's been a long time since, you know, when he told me about it. So, I could be getting it all wrong, but I could have swore it was, like, there was, like, a wristband of some type. It was, like, it would turn into a sword over her hand or something like that.
Well, the Witchblade kind of does stuff like that, but it also can just, like, shoot out tentacles and, like, just claw people. Okay, well, yeah. So the series is being written by Mark Millar with art by Jay Lee, and it had a press release thing was released with it. The Witchblade has sent a lot of bad people to hell over the centuries. Witchblade Demon Reborn gives us a chance to see what happens when one of them comes back. Mark Millar and JD created the character they called the Demon several years ago in a Witchblade Demon crossover one shot. Since then, Demon has discovered at the hands of a genuine demon in the pits of hell just how petty and insignificant he really was on Earth. As Serpentini has been getting on with her life, Demon has been going through some very unique and specialized tortures in hell. He's also been collecting a lot of hatred and resentment toward the woman that sent him there. Our series sends Demon back to Earth for a short time in an effort to exact his revenge against Sarah and the Witchblade. More important than the demon's schemes, though, is how they reveal Sarah's ongoing struggle to keep the Witchblade and her life under control. Hosting the Witchblade allows Sarah to help rid the world of people we're all better off without, but it's also a burden. Witchblade, Demon Reborn, looks at the burden very closely, examining the toll of living with the Witchblade exacts on Sarah and the people she loves. So we've got all kinds of bloody hellfire action along with a penetrating look at what it's like to be the Witchblade's host. It's a dark story that has been really fun to work on. I think readers who dig Witchblade, demons, or just police procedurals are really going to dig it. So, get a new Witchblade Demon crossover. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it, sucker?
Yeah. Then, it was the Warriors! They killed Cyrus!
And Warriors! Come out to play!
You need some bottles on your fingers.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so yeah, I guess that's does it for news, and I guess that will do it for this week's edition of the DeathStarProject.com comic book podcast. But does you have anything else you want to talk about?
When does X-Men, Avengers X-Men number 2 come out?
Well, let me check on that.
Da-da-da-da-da. He's checking out new releases for Avengers versus X-Men. Everyone listening, when we post this on the forums, what team are you on? Are you Team X-Men or Team Avengers?
Ah, yes, that's a good thing. That's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
I think I got to say, before reading these two comic books, I was thinking I would be Team X-Men because I never read Avengers. But where the story seems to be going, I think I'm Team Avengers.
Yeah, same here. Like, I've never really been that invested in the Avengers, and I think Captain America and Iron Man are both dicks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it looks like I think Avengers all the way.
Yeah.
So, let's see if I can pull it up here, because that one first look I clicked didn't work. Okay, so Avengers vs. X-Men, Issue 2, will be coming out Wednesday, April 18th.
So, oh, wow, that's a...
Yep, so next week.
Days away. Yeah.
So, next week we'll get Avengers vs. X-Men, Issue 2. So we'll go back
cool.
to... Yep, so... Yeah. And it just so happened... But it also just so happens that will be coming out the day after we record.
Perfect!
Yep, so it'll be another, I guess, 4 weeks before we can talk about it. So that's going to be fun.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to do it for this week's edition of the DeathStarProject.com comic book podcast. Be sure to come back this Friday when we'll be posting our movies podcast as well as our commentary for Summer Wars. And be sure to come back next week when we'll be having video games and anime, I guess, if you're into that sort of thing. And we will be back with the comic book podcast in another 2 weeks. And so, yeah. So, what do you think about the stuff we talk about? What do you think about the big crossover thing that's happening? What do you think about the Gambit series? What do you think about Avengers vs. X-Men? Let us know in the comments below or in the forums, which will be linked on the thing. Just says click here to join the forum discussion link. So, yeah, click that. Let us know, please, what you think. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, you can follow the site at Destro Prods. I'm at Denman underscore DD Prods and at Fuck Shacks. I still can't believe you got that thing. It's been like how long since you started that Twitter account, and I still can't believe someone's not said, hey, this guy's name is kinda.
Hello?
Yeah, fuck, my internet disconnected. As we're signing off, of course it had to do that.
I would argue that it's better there than in the middle of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, so, I'm not sure if we'll be counting this out yet, but, yeah, well, so, I'm dead.
And I'm Shags, and Dead Man's internet sucks.
Yep, so, donate to the Indiegogo and help you get better internet.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next time.